Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so we love the Word. We love the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that is our lives. And we love not our life to the end. And so there's a few things I want to discuss today. One of the main things was the mother who lost her son, Cindy Sheehan. I guess I say her name right, Sheehan, in Crawford, Texas. But let me just get Barbara up and going here with us today. Barbara, blessed to have you with us today.
Hi, Kelly. I like your new name.
You like that? Berean Chronicles.
Yes.
And in the days of deception, we better be very good Bereans, because, you know, nothing makes me madder than to be deceived. And to be used by the Antichrist system, the beast system out there, for their own glory and to help get their system going further.
Yes, you have to be a Berean. And, you know, we've all been deceived at one time or another. And it takes a really mature Christian to admit that they've been in deception and to admit that they were wrong and to come out of deception. But if you can't do it, you will just stay deceived and you'll deceive others. So we have to, I know I've been in movements and organizations where they looked good on the outside, but, you know, the Lord was gracious to show me that they were deceivers. So we all have been there.
Yes, we have. And I'm not sure about this mama that's in Texas. And unfortunately, she's had to go home because her mother has had a stroke. And it's quite amazing to me. It really is. I mean, I'm actually floored by the way the Rush Limbaughs and the Joseph Fares and the other so-called conservatives, neocons, or Christian folks have really been treating her. And I don't watch Fox News or anything, but I can only imagine what they're all saying. Because what she is saying mostly is true. George Bush is the biggest terrorist around this world. And other things that she is saying, it is very true. Matter of fact, if she comes back to Texas, I might be going camping out there. I'm going to pack up the camping gear and head to Plano, Texas, and go see her. I want to interview her. I hope and pray she's for real and she's not just part of the controlled right or the real fundamentalists that are against the real Christians, I believe, know completely that this war was wrong and that Bush was lying. Then you have the fake evangelical Christians, other Christian so-called groups, that they're the ones been supporting Bush and all wearing yellow ribbons on their SUVs and all supporting this war no matter how wicked and bad it gets and how many lies come forward is true. You know, as so many things revealed as Bush lied, they're still supporting him. And then, of course, then I guess you've got the left people that don't support wars either. So they like to put us in their camp. They're trying to put her in their camp. Anyways, he's on vacation and he has no time. He is scared to death. He can't answer her questions. Barbara.
Well, I'm always conscious that there is a controlled opposition movement against Bush. And that's, if you talk to Howard Phillips or Chuck Baldwin, you know, they would probably support this woman, what she's doing, because they're opposed to Bush.
Right.
But they are a controlled opposition movement.
Right.
So we have to be very careful when these incidents happen. I always stand back and watch, because they just know how to push our buttons. They want to get us involved in these controlled opposition groups. They want to make us mad. Even Howard Phillips said at one time, we organize discontent, and we must prove our ability to get revenge on people who go against us. And Terry Dolan said, he was the chief fundraiser through NCPAC, his political action committee, and he worked.
And this is the homosexual sodomite.
This was the sodomite,
yeah, who died of AIDS.
Homosexual that died of AIDS that worked with Howard Phillips
for his campaign.
No,
okay.
To start the moral majority.
Oh, he had a sodomite helping start the moral majority. Isn't that just
how about that for hypocrisy?
Yeah,
but this is the type of people that Howard Phillips has worked with. He does you have to keep in mind, these people are not conservative. They're no more conservative than Bill Clinton. But they talk the line because they're part of a controlled opposition. They have to pull in the people who would form a true opposition movement to the takeover of our government. So they set up these false oppositions.
Oh, well, I'm not sure it's a takeover of government anymore, more than, because I don't think that we'll ever, the good folks would ever be able, or if there are ones, ever be able to take over this Freemason secret society government. But I think it is helping get Hillary elected for sure, and Bill Clinton to the head of the UN. So won't that be interesting, having her as president, as they denounce purposely, I believe, and I've seen it, it is a purpose. George Bush did horrible things, and now they're being exposed purposely to discredit him and discredit Christianity, and start basically laying some of the groundwork and the framework for Christian persecution.
Exactly. George Bush is giving Christians a bad name all over the world, and he's also they're passing laws whereby the Christians can be, labeled as anti-government. The controlled opposition can be labeled anti-government, and the Christians are being labeled throughout the world as warmongers. Here we are over in Iraq, attacking countries that have never attacked us, and so the Christians have a bad name when we should be preaching the gospel.
And Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars. And it looks as though even we had one of our ships are in Jordan, and supposedly some missiles came and nearly missed it, fired. And you've got war games going on with Russia and China. And we're just seeing, with much unrest in America, the invasion of America by South America, even the front page of the paper, all of a sudden everybody's surprised. They got 20% increase of Mexican children in the schools, and not enough teachers or room, and oh my goodness, well, they don't bother to say, I bet they're illegals, let's go find our mom and dad and kick them out. Nope, let's just make more schools to fit the Mexican kids, and it's quite unbelievable, and that's just to agitate us and make us more mad. So the discontent in this country to bring us to a police state, and then World War III, basically on the horizon as we are getting ready to invade Iran. It's very much, when it's such a beautiful day like this, you have a hard time dealing with the fact that how terrible everything is getting.
This is true.
It's very hard to realize, and most people just like to deal. I thought it was very interesting, Barbara, that they took the steel, 300, let's see, how many tons of steel from the Twin Towers to build a ship and to fight terrorism. And it's going to be the USS New York. And they're using 10 tons of steel from the World Trade Center. And I thought that steel melted. And they're going to use steel that melts to build a big ship to fight terrorism. I thought that was those poor people and families who died. I would think that would make... I'm not sure what that would do to them, but here the steel couldn't hold up the building. It's going to protect a ship. It melted in very low heat, which is a lie, I'm sure. But it found that quite interesting. They're taking 10 tons of steel to build a ship to fight terrorism. Well, let's spend some time getting back. We did not get to go completely over Howard Phillips, and you started on that. I've got an article here from Newsmax.com, which Newsmax is a neocon front group, Bush supporter, just terrible. And the people and the disinformation that they stick out, or the agitated message that they put out. But they did an article in 2002, and it was a two-part series from Newsmax.com on the Council for National Policy and their meeting. I once talked to, in person, Steve Baldwin, who is the head executive director of the Council for National Policy, and maybe he still is. He wrote an expose on sodomy and pedophilia, and I had read it and called him. I think Chief Justice Roy Moore has been a guest speaker at the Council for National Policy meetings, But it's an unbelievable article right here, and I'm just going to read the first few minutes of it. On May 3rd, one of the authors of Dr. Nemitz participated in Representative Newsmax in the annual conference of the Council for National Policy. Dr. Torda also took part in one of the press conference on the conference panels. This is an extremely representative conference with about 500 prominent guests from all over the U.S. discussed the most urgent problems in our country: economic freedom, family, religion, law, justice. Several high-ranking officials of the Bush administration made speeches and participated in panel discussions. Oh, good. The problem in our national defense policy was one of them. Naturally, have been the most important for the authors, and these problems, it seems, come a top issue of this conference. Several major meetings in the conference were devoted partly or entirely to the U.S. war against terrorism and directly related to the problem in the Middle East conflict. Such prominent speakers were Kenneth Timmerman, an expert on Iran and its support for world terrorism; Dr. Constantine Menges, an expert on the Chinese-Russian alliance and its influence on world terrorism. Funny how they had someone who talked about this back in 2002 of the Chinese-Russian alliance, and you and regular folks are just now reading about it yesterday in the paper, and its influence on world terrorism. Rafael Barak, Embassy of Israel in Washington, he spoke. Ambassador Hank Cooper of the CNP Defense Foreign Policy Session. Major General John Singlob, who delivered a major speech entitled, quote, "The War on Terrorism," and you taught us about him yesterday. He was at that same session. Former Director of the CIA, James Woolsey, Pat Buchanan, and Dr. Frank Gaffney, President of the Center of Security Policy, did their best to determine ways to solve these life or death problems. And then they go through a bunch of problems that these people, pretty much what they do there is tell these ministries what you support and what you don't, and this is what how you do it, and you use your ministries to do it. Wouldn't you say, Barbara?
Well, we have to remember that the Council for National Policy is not a right-wing organization. It's not conservative. It was started by a mixed bag, what appears to be a mixed bag of people. Three or more of the founding members were Council on Foreign Relations members. And I think that what I want to impress on everyone is that this Council for National Policy represents the power elite structure throughout the world. These people are millionaires. They represent the corporations, and I just want to read something that I read, I think it was this week. The Pentagon is devising scenarios for martial law in the United States. It's by a Patrick Martin. He said, according to a report published Monday by the Washington Post, the Pentagon has developed its first ever war plans for operations within the continental United States, in which terrorist attacks would be used as justification for imposing martial law on cities, regions, or the entire country. The front page article cites sources working at the headquarters of the military's Northern Command, NORTHCOM, located in Colorado Springs. The plans of NORTHCOM have their origins not in the terrible events of 9/11, but in longstanding concerns in corporate America about the political stability of the United States. This is a society increasingly polarized between the fabulously wealthy elite at the top and the vast majority of working people who face an increasingly difficult struggle to survive. The nightmare of the American ruling class is the emergence of a mass movement from below that challenges its political and economic domination. And this is why you have the Council for National Policy. They have to control the Christians, the conservatives, the right wing, make us think that they're leading us into a revival or a reformation or freedom, whatever the buzzwords that they use. But really, they are totalitarian at heart. They are bringing us under the control of the world elite system of the transnational corporations.
I agree 100%. I've read that article, and I've read the Washington Post story of the plan, war plans by our Pentagon to bring our military and start using them in cities and joining them up with our local civilian police forces and law enforcement. So militarizing our civilian, and so we get used to having our military here, and they're practicing all over the country and have been for a few years with military in our streets and in our all around us. And so we're all getting used to having our military, and although it's completely against the Constitution, posse comitatus, for us not to have our troops there. It's amazing how these articles come out and average people, but they go on as if they've never read them or ever heard of them.
Well, this is true, but they only come out in certain venues.
Right.
If you're watching Bill O'Reilly every night and Hannity and Combs for your news, you're not going to hear a lot of the news. But, you know, Christians are very controlled. Most Christians think that somehow, you know, things are going to get better. We're going to have this Christian theocracy.
And our government will save them and protect them.
Yeah.
They go about their life because the government's got everything under control.
Right.
That's the average American and average, Christian so-called. That's what they think. And so they spend zero time trying to understand what's going on in the world and understand that the prophecies. You can't go into a modern-day regular mainline 501c3 church and hear anything about the war on terrorism or hear anything about the lies of Bush has told or hear anything about Russia and China getting together for war games. They won't talk about revelations. They won't talk about the wars in the Middle East. They won't talk about prophecies. They won't talk about that. They just do cycle babble sermons. And it's sad to see that they're just all being led. That's what it is. Love not this world and the things that are in it, but see what's happening. Tell us some more about Howard Phillips and this Constitution Party. Just got a letter from Chuck Baldwin. Chuck Baldwin's about an hour from here. He was vice president for Constitution Party running mate with Michael Peruca. And he's speaking, along with a lot of these CMPers, in Florida, and he's asking people to come down there. Howard Phillips will be speaking at their national conventions. And I will say they have some Aryan race Confederate types that speak at many of their meetings. and it's quite amazing what they think they're trying to accomplish.
Yes, well, I did go over some information about Howard Phillips, his connections to the U.S. Council for World Freedom, that he was on the advisory board, his connection with 33rd Degree Mason Jesse Helms, his connection with the Young Americans for Freedom, which was started by William Buckley, who was CFR from the Buckley family, which has a fortune in oil. Howard Phillips also worked with Paul Weyrich, Richard Vagary, and Terry Dolan, setting up the Moral Majority. He did it because this group saw an untapped resource among evangelicals, a political force out there that they could use for their nefarious ends. And I just would like to go into a little bit of Howard Phillips' connections with the militia movement and Larry Pratt as well, because I think this is very pertinent to our discussion. Now, in 1992, after the Ruby Ridge incident, the militia movement began in earnest. People may not have heard of Pete Peters. He was an identity pastor connected to the Aryan Nations, which you just mentioned.
And they moved to Alabama from Utah last year.
Okay. But he held a conference at Estes Park, Colorado, and most of the participants were involved in either identity or dominion theology. And attending that conference were Larry Pratt and Howard Phillips. I'm not sure if Howard Phillips was there. He was at another one that I'm going to talk about. But Larry Pratt was there. Among all of these neo-Nazis, the identity, Christian identity, Ku Klux Klan, and other extremist groups.
And Larry Pratt, he's a member of the CMP, Council for National Policy.
Yeah, his connections go across the board. He has connections with the Republican Party. He's a Washington insider. He then was connected with Sing Lob's World Anti-Communist League. He's the executive director of the Gun Owners of America. And what people don't know, well, I don't know if they know or not, but he was the head of this Council for Inter-American Security that came up with the Santa Fe document, which I'll talk about in a minute.
And he claims to be a five-point hardcore Calvinist and a dominionist, preterist, believes in taking over the kingdom, taking over the world for God.
Yes, well, they're taking over the world, all right, but it's not going to be for God. They're going to bring us under this Christian theocracy, which is going to be under the Noahide laws. It's a system of laws that doesn't derive from the Bible, although they say so. It derives from the Babylonian Talmud. But anyway, at this Estes Park conference, Larry Pratt spoke to the assembly, and he convinced them that the armed death squads that had worked their poison in Central America and the Philippines could become the model for an armed militia movement within the United States. Now, Pratt is a close colleague of Howard Phillips. And with Pratt, Phillips attended John Singlob's held a conference at Mountain Shadow, and this was where John Singlob launched the United States chapter of the World Anti-Communist League. And after this conference, which was launched by John Singlob, Phillips started organizing his new taxpayer party, which has evolved into the Constitution Party. And it was at the 1994 convention of the U.S. Taxpayer Party that Howard Phillips sold a paramilitary manual entitled Principles Justifying the Arming and Organizing of a Militia. And this manual quickly became popular within the militia movement and right-wing extremists. Circles. It set out in specific detail all of the specifications for the structure of a militia, how it should operate, and that militia members, how it's organized, and the hierarchy within a militia so that no one leaks any information. And the manual is preparing for a revolution. Now, what I wondered about was Howard Phillips is Jewish, and what a Jew is doing giving a warfare manual to a conference of anti-Semites.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? And I always wondered when he got saved, too. Go ahead.
Well, I don't think he really has a testimony. We're just taking his word for it that he converted. But then you begin to realize what's happening here, why Howard Phillips is associating with these anti-Semites. They're all Dominion theology, Reconstructionists. They are calling for a return to biblical patriarchy, the criminalization of homosexuality, execution for abortion providers, and the formation of church-based armed militias. Can you imagine? Church-based armed militias. And all in the name of setting up a biblical patriarchy. But if you know anything about the Noahide laws, this biblical patriarchy is going to be a, what they call a synthesis of Christianity and Judaism.
And they believe these laws will help bring in the kingdom of God, I suppose. And these Noahide laws would be the ones that would kill true Christians. People like you and I would be set to be killed because we don't believe like them. We're not the elect.
That's true. These Noahide laws, the second Noahide law is the prohibition of idolatry. And idolatry in the mind of a Jewish person is worship of Jesus Christ, and they have said as much. And so any Christian that worships Jesus Christ would be guilty of idolatry. And the penalty for disobedience of even one of the Noahide laws, and these laws were signed into law by George Bush Sr. in 1992, I believe.
And they can read the law on your webpage under your Noahide laws article.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah.
I got it. Mm-hmm.
But Christians are signing their own death warrants by supporting this dominion theology, the Reconstructionism, because it's all going to be under the governance of Babylonian Talmudic Judaism, which has nothing to do with the Bible at all. It is anti-Christian. It is anti-biblical. These are the apostate Jews who have they're anti-Christ. They have no regard for the Bible at all. But this is all just a sham to get us to support their theocracy. But anyway, so Larry Pratt and Howard Phillips are very active in this militia movement. This ought to be a warning, and that's how Kelly has talked about the responsibility of Christians to avoid revolution, confrontation with the government, that we are to be peacemakers. But these men and the others in the Council for National Policy are agents provocateurs. They're agitating. They're professional agitators. And in each of their ministries...
Somebody's paying them a lot of money to be good agitators, too.
That's true. There's a lot of money behind this, and you don't see these people that are forking over the money for this, but I believe it all goes back to the House of Rothschild. And, you know, Christians have to...
Well, I told Larry Pratt to his face that he blasphemed the Lord, number one, for his Calvinism, number two, for being a preterist, a dominionist, that we were in the thousand-year reign, that Revelation had already occurred, and Jesus was ruling and reigning at this point on this earth. And my question is, I wonder when they believe, these dominionists, when will they believe the resurrection will occur, Barbara? Resurrection of themselves to a resurrected body, glorified bodies, and the resurrection of their elect loved ones. I mean, when do they think they're going to resurrect? When they bring in the kingdom?
My research has led to the conclusion. These people are Gnostics. They're pagans at heart. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And Gnostics believe that they are going to evolve to divinity. They actually believe that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are going to fight him and win. These people are Luciferians. They have been sold a lie by the devil. They've believed a lie.
Well, I've seen that in the Constitution Party, there's many Mormons, and even on the Executive Committee, there's many Mormons. And they must believe, as the Mormons do, that Lucifer and Jesus are brothers.
Well, even
and Lucifer
that,
wins, huh?
Yeah, well, that makes Lucifer equal to Jesus.
Right, and he might win.
Yes, and then at this final battle of the ages, I think that's what these paramilitary organizations are all about. And even the Star Wars program, they know that there is going to be an Armageddon. They know that Jesus Christ is coming back to Earth. And there's a lot of evidence on our website in our Heeding Bible Prophecy Report that they intend to use these weapons against Jesus Christ. If you can believe that.
Well, and his saints.
And his saints
yes.
before then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. They have to rid the world of believers in Jesus Christ. And that's what you see in Revelation, all of these saints slain for the word of their testimony and for the testimony of Jesus and the word of God.
Well, it's an awful frightening picture, and they're doing all this paramilitary, all in the name of Christ, at the same time.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They're deceivers. You have to realize that this is what the conspirators use. They use religion, religious fronts, to draw us into their snare. And Larry Pratt head up an organization called the Council for Inter-American Security. And this Council for Inter-American Security forged a document. This Council for Inter-American Security was an intelligence organization and disinformation organization. And they, in 1980, they published a document called the Santa Fe Document. And it was based on another document that had been funded by Rockefeller. It was called the Rockefeller Report. See, these people are in bed with Rockefeller. So they're no more right-wing, despite all of their rhetoric.
Well, I've been to the 33, and I don't have it right in front of me, all their pictures. They have pictures of the Hall of Honor for 33-degree Masons. And that didn't include them all. It's just a Hall of Honor. In Washington, D.C., in their Supreme Council building, and Brigham Young is in there. Many Mormons are 33-degree, and it's amazing how a lot of their rituals and satanic worships are the same. They got them both from each other, the Freemasons and the Mormons. And yet, Christians can see these Mormons and Catholics and Dominionist Calvinists in this group, the Constitution Party, and think it's okay to be a part of it.
That's true, and they're in the Council for National Policy.
Right.
They're
evil alliances, and we're not to have alliances with darkness, with evil.
No, and the Mormon religion was started by Joseph Smith, and he worked with a group of Catholics.
I think he was a 33-degree. His name might have been in there.
Well, he was a Kabbalist, and I suspect he was Jewish because he worked with a group called the 12 Apostles. His inner circle were all Kabbalists. What he taught was Kabbalism. Many of these new religious movements and pseudo-Christian religions are really Judaized forms of Christianity.
Right.
And they will bring all of their adherents right under these Noahide laws. Which are taken from the Babylonian Talmud. You can just see everything moving in that direction.
Great, great insight with that. One of the big things we're seeing here in the next, what we're starting to see, and I've always been a big creationist. Christians have been thought to believe in evolution. Evolution was one of the big lies. It'd be interesting to know what we think the big lie is. But now all of a sudden, of course, there's enough evidence to prove against evolution. And now all of a sudden, George Bush and all these crews, these fake Christians out there, are all coming out to be creationists. What do you think is behind that? More deception.
Well, there's a faction of creationism that.
And let me interrupt you again. In the Council for National Policy, there are many creationists, supposed that have like Henry Morris of the Institute of Creation Research, and one of his other guys that I've had here in Mobile speaking. I've had both of them on my show before. Several big-time creationists in the Council for National Policy pushing this creationism.
Yes, but you'll notice that many of them, if you look on these apologetics websites,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, are Dominion Theology and Reconstructionist.
Uh-huh.
What they're pushing is something called intelligent design.
Right.
And intelligent design basically says, yes, there was an intelligent being who created all of this. But they don't tell you that an intelligent being doesn't necessarily mean God, the God of the Bible. So they're very cleverly shifting the creation science movement in that direction.
So this intelligent design is possibly and probably maybe from aliens outside this hemisphere.
Yes, exactly. Or Lucifer.
Lucifer himself.